Pháp thoại mà các bạn đang nghe được phát từ phatam.com, website hàng đầu về truyền thông đa phương tiện Phật giáo.
Good evening, my dear brothers, sister, and friends. Welcome to our weekly Friday meditation. Today is July 20th, 2012. I'm very happy to see all of you before we break. Today is our last Friday, as usual, and we will come back as a class, as a group, in September, I think September 7th. During we have our summer break, you are welcome to come to practice meditation anytime you wish to. And if you need a private meeting with the monk in order to share or in order to have some advice, you also can call in and arrange your time with the monk. Especially, I think we are available after the mid of August. From now until mid of August, we are very busy with many retreats coming up, and of course you are any time if you need to have to spend some time private with the monastics, you also can do that. We happy to sit with you and to share, and also to give you some experience in our practice. In Vietnamese Buddhist tradition, this is only Vietnamese tradition, when a young monk ordained as a monastic, if they are under 13 years old, usually they have a little bunch of hair. And the reason why we have so, because this is a very cute way for the young monk. That means they are not a teenager yet. They're still very young in the practice. And if you come to the monastery, when you see them, and you know that they devote their time, their life, their effort, enter the monastery to practice as a monastic. And sometimes if they do something wrong, mistake, we open our heart, accept and forgive. And we all love them like our young children. Because they we admire or we appreciate they're very young, but they have done something most of us unable to do it. Of course, they will shave their head when they are around 13 years old. For example, our lovely young boy, Joshua, he will shave his head in this summertime. And I remember a lot of young monks, when they shave their head, they cry because they want to keep their hair like that. But Joshua, he want to shave soon. The reason is, he said, people keep asking me, am I a boy or a girl? But I said, you know, Joshua, that's why you look very cute, because you have a little bunch of hair on your head. Isn't it? He looked very cute. In our practice, we need to learn two things. When you come to the practice center to practice sitting meditation or to train yourself, to transform yourself, that is what we call the practice. But you need to spend your time to listen to the Dhamma talks, and this is what we call the learning. We have two things that we need to apply into our daily practice, and that is the practice and the learning. Because if we are not learned, we are not learning, we don't know what to do, and our practice cannot move forward, our practice cannot move to the higher stage. So therefore, we need both. But do not become a learner. Just a learner is not enough. We need to learn, but not only as a learner. We need to learn and we need to practice. So we are also the practitioner. I used to share with many students when they invite me to share based on my practice. And one of the things that I always tell them, that I am coming here not as a philosopher, as a learner, but I am coming here as a practitioner. So what I have learned, I practice, I share with you. And one day I talk about sometimes the afflictions, the angry, no one give to us, but we the one who looking for and take it close to us and make it seriously. For instance, when we line up to pay for something we buy, and we need to line up. And we look up before us, few person, they buy something, just the cost is only $2 or $3, but they need to take their credit card, or they need to open their purse and looking for coins and stuff like that, and they count, and we sit at the back, we a little bit hurry, and we a little bit upset. Oh my gosh, only $3, they need to do that. You know, nobody complain and nobody say anything, but we the one who stand behind, and we feel uncomfortable. When any uncomfortable feelings in you, it make you not relax, it take all your liberation, your freedom. Instead of sitting there, enjoy the time, but we feel uncomfortable. And that is also can call the afflictions. And that afflictions can be the obstacle. That kind of affliction can be the obstacle for our practice. That's why we need to learn four things. Let's say if you're sitting here, you don't listen to my sound, my voice. Of course, and you also not listening to the main topic of the talk. You do not listen to the voice. You also do not listen to the talk. And that is what we call not listening and not listening. Not listening to the voice, not listening to the talk. And what are we doing? We are daydreaming. Maybe we fall asleep. The second thing, we listen, but we do not listen. That means we only listen to the voice, but we do not listen to the talk. You hear my voice, but totally you do not receive any message of the preacher, of the one who shares. The third kind of person, we listen, but we also listen. We listen to the talk. We listen to the voice. For example, you spend your time, you try to understand my voice, you try to understand my English, but you also try to understand the idea, what I try to share with you. That means you're listening deeply. Three kinds of listening already. Listen, but not listen. Not listen, and not listening. Listen, but not listen. That means only listen to the voice, but not listen to the talk. And now, you listen to the voice, you listen to the talk. And sometimes, we listen to the talk, but we don't mind about the language, the voice. That means we a little bit move our practice into the non-attachment. Sometimes people, they have a very good way to explain, but some people, they don't have the good way to explain, but they have the heart. Sometimes you talk to someone, we need to receive the message, but don't attach to the way they express or the language they use. Sometimes they are not skillful, they are not talented to use the loving speech. But inside their heart, they have a beautiful heart. They try to explain something to us. But unfortunately, they don't have enough skillful to use the loving speech. There are four things we need to learn and to practice. Sometimes we try to listen to the voice, and we also listen to the talk. When you talk to the kid, especially, you put all your attention, your patience, because sometimes they really want that, but they don't know how to explain. I remember a long time ago, I have a girl, and she is the young sister of Thầy Đức Tạng, Brother Peter. When she's still here, she used to go home and she take a nap. When we have supper, usually she not attend. And she asked the permission to attend the dinner after, because she need to take a nap after school. And one day, one lady met her in the kitchen. And she said, oh, did you have your supper yet? And instead of answer, yes, I did, or no, I don't, she didn't say that. But she said, oh, I didn't take a nap today. That lady, surprised and wonder, I asked her whether she have dinner yet or not, but she told me she didn't take a nap. She said she looked at her and she tried to look like she very curious, what are you talking about? But I passed by and I understand her. I said, you know why she said that? The reason she said, oh, I didn't take a nap today, that means she already ate. Because she didn't take a nap, that's why she already attended dinner. Because this is something she used to do. She used to take a nap, but today she didn't take a nap. It means she already joined the dinner. But who can listen to that kind of voice? Only close relative. That's why in our Bodhisattva, we have the Bodhisattva name Quán Thế Âm Avalokiteshvara. Quán means looking deeply. Q-U-A-N. Looking deeply. Thế means the world. Âm means the voice, the sound. So Quán Thế Âm means the one who is looking for the voice of suffer, the sound of suffer, in order to help. And sometimes the one who suffer did not say anything into voice that we can listen. But if we looking deeply, we practice deeply, we can hear their cry inside, their voice of suffer inside their heart. Sometimes in the afternoon, I take a walk in this meditation hall, and some young friends walk in, kneel in front of the Buddha. After their three bows, I saw their tears. They didn't say anything. They silently shared their suffering with the Buddha. I passed by, I saw their cries, and I know they are totally suffering. I come to put my hand on their shoulder, and I said, if you need to see Thai, I'm waiting for you at the back hall. So the back hall is the ancestor hall. The back hall is the hall where you can listen. Because sometimes people cannot present their suffering in front of anyone. But maybe in somewhere in the corner of life, they're able to share. Sometimes we're only able to share with someone at the corner of life. Every one of us, we have a corner of ourselves. And sometimes we need to stop by that corner and take a look. You see, this is the big room, but of course there is some corner. People can hide themselves. In our life, even someone who is very famous, but they still need a corner to hide himself. Isn't it right? Every day we look, we renews. We renews and we can see some movie star. They have millions of money. But we can read their life. We can read their suffer. We can read the difficulties that they need to face every day. I remember at the time that USA president who just received the position, and suddenly many things happened to the country. And on that day, I was giving a talk in the state. And after the talk, we take a walk together in a very, you know, very small, in a very small park. But I told people walk with me. I said, this is the park. Small park. And I'm sure the president never here before because he's too busy. We feel sorry, and you know, even the president, he is not free like us. We are free to walk anywhere we want. But the higher position you have, the lot of things you need to do. And sometimes we really need a corner to sit in, to relax, and to live deeply with the present moment. There's a famous poem, a famous poetry. He wrote his poem and he said, here is my shoulder. If you need to lean on and cry, let me hear the drop of your suffer. Because your suffer now become a very heavy fruit. If you're able to drop that kind of suffer fruit down, so I can hear the sound of that dropping, and so I can realize, so I can inform that you already released. Each of us can become the Bodhisattva. The Bodhisattva means the great being, the one who able to give the hand, to give the shoulder, to give the time, the effort, the energy to help someone. You don't have to be a lot of fame. Even we are very young, we are very small, but we also can be a great Bodhisattva. Big, not only the size, the form, but the big heart. The big heart is the most important. Last week I was in Washington, D.C., Virginia, to lead a few Dhamma talks. And this time, all the members agreed together because Thay's health is not very good, so we only arranged 3 talks. And most of the time, let Thay have some rest. But you know what? I have no rest at all. Every day I work from 6 in the morning until 3 a.m. in the next day. Every day. 7 days a week. Because many family, they suffer and they call in, they request us to come just to visit their home, to give them some words, to encourage them, to comfort them. And I cannot refuse. And while we are on the way there, I told some members in the van, I said, we are not sure what we can do for them, but I'm sure when we request, we are presence for them. We already give them a lot of warmth. And that's very true. I remember one of the night we visit a couple, have no children, and the husband is very sick. And every night he just yelled. She couldn't sleep for 6 years already. And she really want us to come and visit him. And I remember, I stepped into that house, midnight. Can you imagine? We visit a patient at midnight. And 1 hour visit, another hour to drive back. There are a group of people from North Carolina and Oregon waiting for me to give them the three transmission and the 5 precepts. I have to accept because they need to direct, they already register their name, and they thought the ceremony will take place on Saturday, so that's why they booked the flight ticket back to their home and ready for the next day to work on Sunday. So I have to conduct the transmission ceremony at 1:30 in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. And we can see, look at that time, look very tired, but in me, I have a very strong intent. Someday I give a talk like 3 or 4 hours. After my talk, there are a lot of questions. And I remember some members follow me, and they just join their palms and they say, "Thay, your energy, we couldn't catch up because they see I work and work and no rest, day to day, 7 days like that, 5 days like that." And that's why I already said the energy of the mind. We have the energy of the physical body, the physical energy, but that is not strong as the mind energy, the energy of our heart, the energy of the mind. When we do something for someone, not only by physical, do with your heart. Do that with your heart and you will see the difference. You will see the difference. Let's say someday you need to cook for your family. cook with your heart. And you will feel you love to cook. You're happy to cook. Don't cook with your angry. Don't cook with your suffer. Because they cannot digest the food that you cook. You want them to have a healthy dinner, healthy lunch. Cook with your love. And this is not the philosophy. This is my practice. This is something we can do. No need to pay. We don't need to spend any kind of money, any amount of money. But we do have the capacity to do that. And that is why we need to take refuge in the Sangha. Because Sangha means the community that live in awareness, that live in harmony, that live in peace. We're able to live in peace. We're able to bring peace to others. We're able to cultivate the energy of harmony, the energy of love. And why we need to take refuge in the Dhamma? Because the Dhamma means the path, means the way. And this way able to bring us to the higher, to the brighter, to the right, to the liberation, to the freedom. And every single thing we do, if we are able to reflect and make sure this is able to bring peace and understanding, and that is called the Buddha Dhamma. Dhamma means the path, the way. Dhamma means the path or the way. But remember, without mindfulness, this way may be wrong. But with mindfulness, this path maybe bring a lot of peace, a lot of joys. So to inform, not a regular Dhamma, but this is the Buddha Dhamma. Because Buddha means awaken. Buddha means the enlightenment. Buddha means mindfulness. When we do something with our mindfulness, that is the Dhamma. Because many ways. Some direction will bring us to the wrong, to the dark. But some path will bring us to the light, to the peace, to the joys. So we have the right to choose our own path. And any path that able to bring us peace, bring us love, and that is called the Buddha Dhamma. The Dhamma will give us the learning of non-attachment. We do everything, but we have no attachment to anything we did. Let's say, I helped this guy, I never attach, or I have helped him. I expect him to return me somewhere in the future. But if, when you do that, you already have the purpose. When you do something for others. And this purpose, if it's not response, you will suffer. Why don't you do it with your open heartness? Just do it when you feel that you're able to do. You have no attachment. It's more easier, more relaxed, more release. If you go to the back hall today, you take a look at the big picture, the portrait at the back hall, and you see there was a master who carried one sandal, one shoe, only one. Not, where's another one? I remember one day I asked this to a group of young people, and one girl, she raised her hand, and she said, "Dear Thai, the reason why that master carried one shoe because he lost the other one." There's no right and no wrong. What she feel, what she think. Why the Bodhidharma only carry one sandal? Because if we have two, it means we have comparative. We always have compare. This is right, this is wrong. This is good, this is bad. But actually in this life, there is nothing absolutely right or absolutely wrong. If something, it match with what you think, you name it right. Doesn't match with what you want, what you think, you name it wrong. For example, you like to come here on Friday. So every time when you spend your time sitting here with the Sangha on Friday, you feel all right. But somebody, they say, why you do that? You already spend 1 week to work. You need to go home to relax, to go to the bar, to the club, etc. And they say, they name us. You are wrong. So if somebody, they happy here, we can say, oh, this is my happy hour. Because after work, we used to have a happy hour. We stop by somewhere to take something to eat. Happy hour. Friday night is my happy hour before I start my weekend. I remember when I was a young novice, I attend high school. A lot of my classmates, my friend, why you do that? Why you shave your head? Why you sacrifice your life? Do you watch TV? I say, no. Oh my God, I feel so sorry for you. They say, are you go to the movie, the theater? No, I didn't go. Oh my God, I feel sorry for you. And remember one day, they call one of my classmates, he called for collection. He said, can anyone who give me, each of you can give me $1 so this weekend I can bring him to the movie. They think I don't have money to go to the movie, so he want to bring me to the movie. I said, you have a very good intent. You're very kind heart. But just because I don't like to attend, that's all. I feel sorry for you. But now they come to visit me sometime, you know, they have a lot of kids. They cannot sit even for half an hour to talk. And I said, now who feels sorry for who? Now I feel sorry for you. I'm a freedom monk. So I told Michael, Peter, Joshua, many of my young boys, and I said, as a monk, we are a freedom monk. So you want to be freedom like Thai, make sure you choose the right way, the right home. You see, anyone I want to go, I just pick up my phone and let them know that I will come and they book my ticket. I didn't pay for any flight ticket. We doesn't mean about the material life, but how freedom we are. If you can drop everything down, sometimes you just drop one thing down, you have everything back. And what is that one thing? You're greedy. We have a lot of greedy in us. The fame, the money, the sex, the food, the sleep, five basic desires. And everything together we call greed. And if you can release that kind of greed, you have everything back. That's miracle. And that is the effect of the practice. There was a lady about 65 years old in the USA, United States. She called me and said, Thai, do you need any electrical things like an iPad, like an iPhone, like laptop, like computer? I said, no, I didn't need anything. When I don't, it's not time for me to need them, and I will honestly, I say, I don't need them yet. I don't mean I totally don't need them. But I just said, for now, I don't feel I need. For now, I don't feel I need a cell phone. I don't feel I need a BlackBerry, an iPad, anything. And I always remind the young friends, remember, take enough for you to use. Because you don't have enough capacity and energy to run after the technology. Because technology always updates. But remember, you're getting older each day. You have limited of time of your life. Just take something enough for you to use. anything don't need yet. Don't need. I don't need a digital camera. Honestly, now I don't have. I don't have a cell phone. I don't have all kind of technology things, electrical things. Doesn't mean I don't want them. I don't need, but not right now. It's not yet. But if I do need something, I just take something just enough for me to use. Because when you feel enough, you rich. You don't feel enough, you always poor. Why are we poor? Because we never feel enough. We just want more and want more. And the more we want, the more we spend time to chasing after something. I don't mean living in a luxury house is wrong, but we need to see our limit, our capacity, how much we can afford for the house that we live in. Because the house only a facility for us to stop by for a night. But the home is most important. Because the house is only a facility. Home is built by love, understanding, family together. Otherwise, each of us, we just come back to the house, the facility, to stay overnight. That's it. Many families, now the word family is no longer have any meaning for them. Because the husband cannot talk to the wife. The wife cannot talk to the husband. The children have their own world. The wife have her own world. The husband have his own world. They may be they in the same bed, but they have different dreams. The non-attachment. So, non-attachment. But because we're still in this entire world, that's why we need to use the draft. We need to use something. But remember, everything is like a draft for us to over the shore. But once you arrive to the shore, do not attach to the draft. That's why Bodhidharma, Master, he walked on the branch to cross over the river, the ocean. You go to the back and you will see his picture. He is the one who appeared and he carried one sandal. He walked on the branch, crossed over the ocean. The ocean symbolized for this war, this entire war. The branch symbolized for the draft. The sandal he carried symbolized for non-attachment. Let's say this is wood. But before it comes to like this, just wood. But when the wood, the nails, the paint, everything come together, we temporarily call what? Polium. But this is only the name. If we attach to the name, somebody call difference. Somebody call a desk, a table, we angry, we upset. We expect people call the right word, the right term we use. And that is why we have lot of conflicts, lot of arguments, because we didn't see the true facts of life. Everything is the conditions. When they have enough conditions, everything appears. And because they come by the condition, that's why nothing can stay forever. Nothing is eternal. Nothing is permanent. Why? Because when they have enough conditions, they come together. And because they come by the conditions, there's nothing can stay forever. And if we can see that, we have the second eyes in the practice, the eyes of heaven. We have five kind of eyes. Human eyes, heaven eyes, Dharma eyes, Buddha eyes, Yeah. Five kind of eyes. When you look everything and you attach, that is called the eyes of human. It's no more. We all have the eyes of human. Human eyes. But now, you look things as the true facts of them. They are impermanent. That's why you can release the attachment a little bit. That is the eyes of heaven, heaven's eye. You can see why they are here. That's called the Dharma eye. Dharma eyes. Nhục nhãn, thiên nhãn. Pháp nhãn. Phật nhãn. Buddha eyes. Tuệ nhãn. Insight eyes. Because the insight, after you meditate, you reflect. Now you still use your human eyes. You don't need to change any kind of eyes. I saw they have a lot of color for their eyes now. Lot of kids, when they come to the temple this week, I saw they have brown eyes. Next week they come back, I saw them have red eyes. They replace the color for their eyes. But suffer, still suffer. Because they only use their human eyes. They did not use their heaven eyes, Dharma eyes, Buddha eyes, insight eyes, or wisdom eyes. Five kind of eyes. But with our practice, just we still use this human eyes, but we can use this in a higher level. We can see, we can look things more deep, more reflect, more understand, more accept, more open, and we have more relax, more freedom, more release, more enjoy. Let's say if you look at the weather, oh, I know Edmonton have almost 6 months of winter time. So that's why now if I have the warm weather, the tree, the leaves, you know, I enjoy. I don't need to wait when it's autumn. I don't need to think about last winter. You don't have to wait. Winter will come. Autumn will come. Why don't you enjoy the present moment, the nice and the warm weather? So in Buddhism, we practice and use the five eyes in our daily life. Five kind of eyes. We still have this human eyes, but we move on. Different level of looking, accept. We more relax. That's why I share with you earlier today. What you learn, just learn. But don't become a learner. Because we need to become a practitioner more than a learner. But not because of the practice and we refuse to learn. Because the learning will help us more, support us more on the practice. Pháp học, learning, pháp hành, the practice. The more we learn, the more we can, it's support for our practice. Do you understand four kind of listenings? Do you understand five kind of eyes? Let example, this is the human ears. And because we always use the human ears, that's why we suffer every day. We pass by someone and suddenly they stop talking without. Maybe they are gossiping about me. That's why they saw me pass by, they stop talking. We suffer. We create our own affliction. Why don't you just say, Just listen to everything as normal. So that's why one day there was a student came and asked his teacher, "Master, when you listen, when you are practicing meditation, what do you see? And what did you hear?" "Oh, I hear, but I didn't hear. I see, but I didn't see." He surprised and wondered. "I see my faults, but I don't see anyone's faults." That means I see, but I didn't see. "I see my own faults, but I don't see anyone else's faults. I listen to me, my wrong, my mistake. I don't listen to anyone. I listen to my heart." So that's why if you read in the Lotus Sutra, there is some chapter, the Buddha said, the one who practices and chanting the Lotus Sutra, they can receive thousand and thousand of merits for their ears, thousand of merits for their eyes. We have to understand what is the merits for the eyes and for the ears. Sometimes we look at someone with our hate, with our jealousy, no merits at all. And this is what we can learn. May I feel calm and happy when I see someone successful. If we see someone doing something successful, less happy is like our own successful. That is the merit. Let's say you see someone put in the donation box. You have no money to give, but you're happy along. "Oh, I'm happy for that lady, because she has something to offer to donate. I don't have any. I'm happy along because she can do some giving. She can do some charity, some sharing." The merits of the one who happy along and the merits of the one who give, the same. And somebody questioned the Buddha, "Why the one who happy along and the one who give have the same merits?" The Buddha explained, "Because the one who give, they release their greed. The one who happy along, they release the jealous. The jealous and the greed, two main poisons. Anything, any one of it still in here, still in the heart, we are not happy at all." And the Buddha gave example. Let's say this is the torch. Thousands of other torches come to take the fire from this main torch. Not because of that thousand torches and the main one lower the flame. Let's say I learned the Buddha Dharma. Hundreds of you come and ask me questions, not because you ask me questions and I lose all my Dharma. The more you ask me, the more you update for me about the Dharma. So that's why I like this kind of example. I have $1. I give it to you. You have another dollar. You give it to me. We both always have $1. But what I know, I share with you. What you know, you share with me. We both have two knowledges. You see that? So money never increase, one by one. But the knowledge, one we share, one we receive. We always have learned more. So there is no waste if we open our heart and learn. So every Friday, don't ever think, "Oh, today we have no Dhamma talk. It's okay, still learning." Learn to sit for two sessions. Learn to be quiet. Learn to be there for the Sangha. Learn to enjoy what is called nice and quiet. Sometimes I bring the kids to the park. I didn't say anything. I ask them to sit quietly and listen to the quiet. 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, I ask them, did you hear anything? Yes, I hear the birds, I hear the leaves, I hear the winds. Usually they never hear that. Right? Only when we come, we can hear many, many sounds. Very simple, but always there. And that is the sound of quiet. There is some sound for us to listen, normal. And that will not always there. But the sound of quiet always available for us to listen. Like the space always available. The air always available for us to breathe, to enjoy. Sometimes we need to open our window and enjoy the fresh air. Sometimes we need to take a walk. You know, when I travel, I do the connect flight. I have another flight to connect. And usually I have the train faster than we walk. But sometimes if it's not late, too late, I will take a walk. And I feel that I have a chance to enjoy my walking. So use our time right. And everywhere we sit, we stand, we feel free. Not only in meditation hall, right at the airport, you still practice. You still use your Dharma eyes, Dharma ears to practice. You're learning there, you practice there. If you look deeply, and you can see the learning and the practice, just one. Right at the time you sit and learn, that is also the time for you to practice. Practice how to learn. Practice how to listen. So if you come here on Friday, Thay is not here. Some young brother lead 2 sessions of meditation, you still happy. Because today we have time to learn how to sit twice. How to walk, how to be. The time without Thai. Thank you for your attendance. Thank you for your listening. And this is the last Friday. But, you know, other Fridays, you can come and practice by yourself anytime. And I hope Brother Peter already announced about the retreat. Did he announce the retreat? I hope you all can arrange your time and be with us in this summertime at the Westlock Meditation Center.